So I have kind of a famous story that I like to tell a lot, and I've told it here before, so I'm not going to bore everybody with the details. But it involves me in a trunk faking a kidnap. It also involves me in a police car. I may or may not have been cuffed. I can't even remember. It involves a bunch of police officers, sirens, lights, guns drawn. My kids like this story. And a few weeks ago, we were driving by Anderson, and it was on the south part of Anderson where we were pulled over, and I got to meet some of the police officers of that fine city. And you can see it from Interstate 69. And so I pointed out, I said, "Hey, kids, that's the scene of the crime. That's where it happened." And as they were thinking of it, they wanted to know, "How did your parents take it when you told them? What did your mom and dad say?" I said, "Grammy, my mom, she said she they weren't mad at me. They were real supportive." And I think my mom said something of the lines of, "That's good, Daniel. It's about time you stop being a nerd and do something fun for once." So, Cora, my youngest, loves this story. And she came up just to talk to me about it. And she especially likes that part about Grammy telling me, "Hey, I'm glad you at least had fun." And she's like, "Tell me about Grammy." And then she said, "You know what? I'm like Grammy. I like to break the rules too." How many rule breakers we got out there this morning? Come on, you can admit it. We're in church. There's a lot of us. Rule breakers. Are you guys okay? Yeah, all right. How many of you guys are the babies in your family? Okay, yeah. And a lot of the rule breakers tend to be the babies. Like my mom's a baby in her family, and Cora's a baby in our family. Whether you're here and you're a rule breaker or you're a rule follower, I think one thing that we're all out seeking is freedom. So people are breaking the rules. They're wanting to like break away, get out of the chains, and find freedom. And a lot of times, people who are motivated to really keep the rules want to keep their freedom. They don't want to lose it by being punished. But so wherever you are on that spectrum of a little bit of a rebel or just straight rule keeper, God made all types of people, and we need all of us here because those rule breakers are good for people like me. Today we're going to be talking about freedom and thinking about the rules a little bit and taking steps toward freedom. Because one of the things that happens to us a lot, especially as adults, is that we feel like we're chained up, that we're not free, we're not fully alive, we're kind of living lives of obligation, or it could be all kinds of different things that come and they enslave us, and where we don't really feel fully alive and free. And this month, as we focus on freedom, our hope is that we'll be taking steps toward the freedom of Christ that He has for us. So that's our goal, taking a step toward Christ, moving in the direction toward Him and toward freedom. Because discipleship, we talk about that being the mission of our church, is to make disciples who make disciples. And being a disciple is about taking those steps in the direction of Christ, becoming more like Him. So we're moving one way, and our hope is to move toward Christ, to move toward freedom. So we're starting off with the story of Jesus. Early in His ministry, Jesus had been at some surrounding towns around Israel, and He went back to His hometown where He grew up, to Jerusalem. And it says He stood up and He had a scroll. It was from Isaiah 61, and He reads this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And don't you love those words? I'll have to say, as an American, I love these words too. They sound American, don't they? Like they sound a lot of like our favorite rhetoric that we have, 4th of July and different holidays, like the Statue of Liberty, that quote that often goes with the Statue of Liberty: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." Inviting people, inviting. That sounds like good news to the poor, doesn't it? So as an American, I like what Jesus has to say too. Or I think of like the Declaration of Independence, what started our whole country. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among those are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. But America, we love those things. That Jesus is declaring liberty, good news for the poor, just like the Statue of Liberty beckons and the Declaration of Independence, or even especially how we close the Pledge of Allegiance. It's a great ending, isn't it? With liberty and justice for all. Love that. And those statements can get us fired up as an American. And as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, man, I'm proud to be an American, right? Where at least I know I'm free, right? So like it's coming, like, yeah, we believe in freedom and good news for the poor and bring your tire, bring all these kind of people, liberty and justice for all. So Jesus, when he did it, it said that those words that he read from Isaiah 61, he said, today those have been fulfilled in your hearing. And it said that people were really amazed at his gracious words. Just as we love the pledge and the declaration of, you know, these great words. It says that the people were gracious. And so you think things are going well. He's talking about liberty for people. And then, off to such a great start. How is this going to end? I think, you know, Jesus being the master speaker that he was, this thing's going to go well. So at the end, you know, how's it going to end? I don't know what their culture was like exactly, but is it going to be like a standing ovation? Like, woohoo! Way to go, Jesus. Those were awesome words. Liberty and justice for all. Yeah. Or maybe a little more informal, dumping Gatorade on the coach's head. You know how we do that to celebrate? Jesus does this great message. People are excited and fired up, and they're pouring Gatorade on his head and carrying him out on the shoulders maybe. Or maybe it's more like a pep rally, Jesus is announcing his political candidacy to run for some important office, and the pep rally, and the people are waving flags or signs or banners or whatever, saying, Jesus. Well, let's just skip to the end and see the reaction. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. That's even worse than having Gatorade dumped on your head, isn't it? That's bad. So the question, we skipped some things to get to the end. So what was it? How did Jesus go from gracious words to want to kill him? Furious, throw him off the cliff. Let's get rid of this guy. What was it that Jesus said that really angered this crowd? Well, he talked about how he was maybe anticipating what they were thinking or what they were going to say, because he said, no doubt you're going to be thinking, I've done some miracles in some other places around here, and you're waiting for me to do a miracle here, just like I've done in other places. I'm not going to do that. Right there, probably losing the crowd, I would think. And then he goes on to talk about the Old Testament, and he references a couple stories. He talks about a prophet, Elijah, and during a time of famine, when people were suffering, Jesus pointed out that he wasn't sent to any of the people of Israel, but only to a foreigner, a widow, someone who wasn't from Israel. She's from a place called Sidon, which was an enemy area. So he brings up that Jesus, during this time, it wasn't going well, there's famine. Elijah, there's lots of people hungry, but God sends him to the enemy territory. And then he talks about another story. He talks about Elisha. And he said that there were lots of lepers in Elisha's day. Leprosy was a very difficult disease. And he said Elisha didn't heal any of them except for one, and he was a foreigner. He was a Syrian. He was somebody who maybe was thought to be an enemy. He was a soldier. So Jesus said this, and the reaction was predictable. People were upset. So now let's go back to Moses. So last week we started with Moses and how God sent him to go to Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at the time, and Pharaoh, the most powerful person. And slavery, their economy had been built largely on slavery for 400 years. And so when Moses goes to set the people free, Pharaoh's reaction is predictable. Obviously, Pharaoh's not going to say, yeah, go ahead and take them. Pharaoh's, we know, going to say no. And he's probably not going to be thrilled about it. So Moses' message of freedom for the people of Israel, people who'd been enslaved for 400 years, doesn't get accepted by Pharaoh. So his reaction is predictable, and let's look at it. That same day, the day that Moses asked him, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them." So in other words, he's punishing them. He's furious. "You're going to ask me to set these people free? Not only am I not going to do it, I'm going to make it even worse for these people." So he punishes these people. He's angry. So here we see this message of liberty for other people. Sometimes people don't react very well to it. Now, the Declaration of Independence, right? Every 4th of July, we throw out fireworks and we celebrate it. We get excited. I've been told, I don't know if this is true, but I've been told that the people of England weren't quite as excited about the Declaration of Independence. I've been told that they don't celebrate it like we do in America. Like, freedom for Americans was not good news in England. It brought about war. Oh, you're going to say you're free? Well, I'm going to send my troops to stop that. Sometimes freedom, so Jesus, when he was declaring freedom for the poor and like good news for other people, sometimes when people are free or not free, someone else is profiting. Pharaoh was profiting from the slaves in Egypt, so he didn't want to set them free. England was profiting from the colonies, right? So he didn't want to set them free. So a lot of times that there's that message that's maybe freedom for somebody else, but we're profiting off those who are not free. Where people are not free, someone is profiting. Someone else is. And that message of freedom for all people isn't as popular usually to the people who are profiting. Now, obviously, I'm American, love American, study American history quite a bit. But in the land of the free, we have an obvious history of a struggle with conflict over freedom. Liberty and justice for all meant liberty and justice for everyone who is white for a time. And it caused wars because there was civil war was fought over the spread of slavery. There were people that were abolitionists who thought slavery was evil and should be stopped, but they were so extreme, they weren't even in really the mix, because the battle was whether or not slavery would spread or stay contained. And there was a war fought over that, because that message of liberty to some people, or this is bad, it angered some people. There was lots of blood. There was lots of blood that were spilled over that idea of freedom for people. What is it that keeps us from proclaiming freedom for others sometimes? The Exodus explains Egypt's reason to keep the people enslaved. It was this. The king of Egypt said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Egypt used fear. Where there's slavery, a lot of times there's fear. Man, if these people are free, we're going to lose. What will happen to our economy if these people are set free? Freedom, when there's slavery, there's fear. And that's the explanation Exodus gives for the slavery that Egypt had over the people of Israel. They said, we'd be afraid. These people, they'd be so numerous that they'd take over. We got to keep them enslaved or things are going to go bad for us. So it was about fear, scarcity. If somebody else profits, I might not. So Jesus incited the crowd by saying that God wasn't just for the people of Israel, but he was there to bless other people. But what about me? If they benefit, I may not. Jesus came to set us free. Scarcity says there's not enough to go around, and if somebody else wins, you may lose. A lot of times it's a zero-sum game. And that just means if one person wins, another loses. Like in sports that we have, two people can't win. One wins, one loses. And a lot of times with slavery and freedom and somebody else, that scarcity mindset sees it as a zero-sum game. If somebody else wins, I may lose. Jesus came to set us free. One of the comments we talked about last week was, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Jesus said something else that I think is a big key to our freedom, especially as we struggle with slavery to fear, being afraid. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. In other words, there's more than enough. We don't have to be afraid. There's more than enough. I'm here. We don't have to protect. We don't have to live in fear. I have come to set you free, and I've come to give life that's abundant. There's plenty to go around. There's more than enough. It is abundant. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid that somebody's going to take what is ours. So how do we apply this? Because I know I want to walk in steps of freedom. I want to feel more free. Paul wrote, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." So it's not just Jesus. Paul said it, and Peter. Peter said something similar too. Peter wrote, "Live as people who are free, not using your cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone and love the brotherhood." Freedom is found in loving everybody. It's not a cover-up from evil. Earlier talking about breaking laws, maybe some people were thinking, is he saying we can be disobedient and it doesn't matter? No. No. I think there's a big difference between obedience and following rules. Jesus broke some rules. Paul broke some rules. But they weren't disobedient. Obedience is about our heart toward the Father. And Jesus really exposed a lot of it with his famous story of the prodigal son. As he was talking, he was sharing it with the religious people, probably the people who were good at keeping rules, and looked down on the people that broke the rules. But the story was about the prodigal son who wastes his life in wild living, and he's far from he disrespects his father, and he's gone. But then he comes back, and the father is excited and celebrates, and he turns back to the father. But then there's the older brother who's the rule keeper. He's responsible. He's doing the right thing. And yet he sees this reckless, wild, younger brother rule breaker who's getting a party that he doesn't deserve. And his heart cannot celebrate for his brother. His heart cannot recognize that the heart of the father is for people. And his heart of the father is for his younger child and his older child. It's for the rule keeper and the rule breaker. And Jesus ends that parable to the religious people pointedly, just leaving the guy out. Is he going to go into the party or is he going to stay out with his hard heart? He kept the rules, but he was disobedient because his heart was not after God and the heart of God. He did not have the heart of his father. So this isn't about being a rule breaker and doing with freedom, do whatever you want, live a life of anarchy. This is about being freed to be people who love, because rule keepers can be some of the most bound up people and have some of the least amount of freedom of any of us and miss out on that freedom, miss out on love. We are now free to love, honor everyone, love the brotherhood. It's an opportunity. It's not for the flesh, but through one another, serve one another. Again, Jesus, Peter, Paul are saying the same things over and over. So let's be like Moses, and let's be like Jesus and seek to set the captive free. Let's not be afraid of maybe somebody who's different, but let's be people who go and seek freedom. Good news for the poor. Preach freedom for the captive. Let's be people who are courageous and seek out freedom for other people, not just for ourselves. So as closing this out, I was thinking about, I'm an older brother, so I'm a rule keeper for the most part. Now, my mom will tell you about times when I broke rules horribly. But for the most part, I'm a rule keeper. My younger brother's not, man. He did everything different. And God, I've got an oldest daughter and a youngest daughter. And I'll tell you what, as a father, I know we need both. I know we need both. I'm thankful to be with a younger brother, too, because he's so much like my brother. Sometimes Brandon will be talking, I'm like, that's my brother. Wow. But we needed it. It's awesome that we have an older brother and a younger brother here. Because it's about the heart. And my brother, my younger brother, he would like to sing this song. And he would say, they will know we are Christians by our rules, by our rules. They will know we are Christians by our rules. Sounds like a younger brother song, doesn't it? Like making fun of us rule keepers. But he's right. What a great point. Sometimes we can be so busy following rules that we forget that it's all about love. And that we're free to love. And that Jesus said that the whole world's going to know we're his people. Not by the rules we keep, but by the way we love one another. And that's how they're going to know we are Christians. What a beautiful picture it is. So thank you for you rebel younger siblings. We need you guys. And thank you for you older ones too who are responsible. We need each other. It's about having a heart towards God. Because whether you're a rule breaker or a rule follower, the thing is that we are free. We're free. We're free to love. The Apostle Paul proclaimed, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom for the rule follower, freedom for the rule breaker, there's freedom. And the Son, if he sets us free, we're free again, but it's freedom. So let's not be people who fear anyone. Let's love everyone because we are free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are evident in creation. You don't make mistakes as you have created all people who you love equally. And all our lives have meaning and purpose. We're a collection of people and stories and personalities in this room. And you have created us with a desire for freedom. But sometimes we can allow fear to keep us from experiencing the freedom you have for us. Thank you that Jesus came and was sent to set the captive free. We seek you to be our deliverer. Deliver us from evil, from fear, from sin, from slavery. Give us strength, courage, and boldness to be like Jesus and proclaim good news to the poor. And liberty to the captives. Use us to bless all the people of the earth. Lead us to make disciples who make disciples. May we be known for how we love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.